We'll give you a little direction down to that, but we'd love to have you. But if you have your Bibles, look with us to the book of Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22 for what the Lord has touched our heart with. And just want to be obedient to Him and mind Him this morning. And trust you will as well. And I appreciate being able to go first and getting myself out of the way. And being able to sit back and enjoy the rest of the day. I was hoping and praying that's the way it would work out. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Pace and Brother David. Looking forward to what they have to tell us. And I'll just maybe just give you a few thoughts and then they can come and really preach to our hearts. But Luke chapter number 22, if you'll stand to your feet this morning as we honor the Word of God. I want to start reading in verse number 17. And give you that the Lord has touched our heart with for this hour. Luke 22, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house wherein he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found, as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." And let us pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for being able to stand publicly one more time and read your word. Lord, I stand this morning where no man can stand alone. Dear Lord, I need your touch and I need your anointing upon my life just now. I pray that you'd come by and touch as only you can. You know what we stand in need of, dear God. You know what this congregation needs, Lord. Far so more than I do. Lord, you know every heart, you know every life, you know every mind here in this place. I pray now, Lord, that you'd get honor and glory out of everything that's said, everything that's done. May we be a help. May we be a blessing. Lord, would you pour us out and use us as you see fit. I thank you, dear God, for a group of men on a Saturday morning, Lord, that will take time out to come and assemble together in your name. Lord, I pray your blessings now upon this service. Bless the dear pastor. Have your way in our hearts and our lives. We do pray. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Here in these verses, the Bible tells us that the Lord tells Peter and John to go and make preparations for the Passover. They are to go into the city and there follow a man that's bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house and ask the master of the house, where is the guest chamber, where that we may eat the Passover with the disciples. Just as the Lord told Peter and John, it came to pass, and the Bible says that they found a large upper room furnished. The Bible says that there they made ready. They begin to make ready for the preparation of the Passover. I want to look for a little while this morning about this upper room. The Bible says in verse number 12, "He shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." I want to preach about that upper room for a little while. If you'll look and you'll study in your Bible, you'll find that upper room played an important role and an important part in these disciples' lives. Several important things happened in the upper room. I do believe and I know that there are places that we must go in our Christian walk. I believe first and foremost, we have to go to Calvary. We have to have an experience.
experience of what the Lord did for us at the old rugged cross, where He purchased our salvation, where He paid the sin debt for you and I. I believe as well we ought to also take a trip to that empty tomb just outside Jerusalem, where He triumphed over principalities and powers, making a show of them openly. I believe that ought to be a trip that we should take, guaranteeing us victory over all that would come our way. But there is also this place of the upper room where many of us as believers need to go. I believe as Christian, as me and today, it would do us good to take a trip out of this upper room. There are some things that happen in the upper room that happen nowhere else in these disciples' lives. They got some things in the upper room that they got nowhere else in their lives. I'm glad that God still has a place furnished. He still has a place prepared for us, His people, where we can go and get along with Him. Oh, it's not necessarily the church house. It's not necessarily a building. But thank God Almighty, we can get along with God and get intimate with Him and get in that place where He would have us to be, separate from the world and all that would hinder, and just fellowship and meet with Almighty God. Let me just preach just two or three things about this upper room. I want to say this upper room, first of all, it is a place of preparation and teaching. It is a place where these disciples were prepared and where they were taught some things that they never learned anywhere else. I'm glad God is faithful to prepare us and to teach us for some things that are coming on down the road. If we'll just take time to get alone with Him. If you'll look in your Bibles, John chapter number 13 and chapter number 14, it's the same season, the same time, the same thing is happening as is happening in Luke chapter number 22. And these disciples and the Lord, they're here in the upper room, and it's evening time, and they have just gotten through supper in verse number 1. Verse number 2, the Bible said, supper being ended, supper is over, and now the Lord is about to give them lessons. He's about to teach them and show them some things that they would not see had they not been in that upper room. Oh, it's so important, sir. It's so important for you to come apart and separate yourself and spend time alone with God. Let Him prepare you. Let Him teach you. You see, this is the last night that the disciples will ever have alone with the Lord before His crucifixion. This is one of the last times when they're going to get to fellowship one with another. And Jesus wants to make sure that He gives them these lessons that they are prepared for Him to leave in days to come. Just walk through these scriptures with me. I'll not be able to preach it all out, but just notice a few things, a few lessons that He's teaching them. You'll notice in chapter 13 of John, about verses 2 down through verses number 20, He's teaching them a lesson about humility. He's teaching them a lesson that upon humility, and every one of us need that lesson today. We live in a proud day, in a proud society. And the Lord, and there's more going on in these verses than I can really understand, than I can really grasp, and I can't understand how the Lord is about to get down and stoop down and wash the disciples' feet. That is beyond me. I can't understand how the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings would humble Himself enough and wash the dirty feet of the disciples. But that's just exactly what He did. He got down and He humbled Himself. Well, as a matter of fact, He did that when He came into this world. He laid aside His garment, the Bible said, and He stooped down and He come as a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became the servant so that we might live with Him forever. He's teaching lessons about humility. Oh God, help us this evening to get the lessons in the upper room that He has for us. comes to Peter. He has the towel. He has the basin. And Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Lord, you'll never wash my feet. I can identify with that. I'm not worthy. Lord, I ought to be washing your feet. But the Lord says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have any fellowship with me.
Yeah, come on.
Peter said about the same thing I'd say. Well, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands, my head. Just wash me all over, Lord. I'm due for a good bath. I need a good cleansing. But the Lord said, oh, no, Peter. You don't need washing all over. Once you're clean, you don't need a whole new bath. It's just your feet that got dirty. What is it that defiles us more than anything else? It's our walk. We walk in this filthy world, and it's our walk day in and day out that'll get us in trouble. Our feet get dirty every day. That's why Paul said he had to die daily, had to go back and repent and ask God to forgive him and cleanse him all over again. And the Lord washed those disciples' feet, teaching them a lesson about humility. Tells them, I believe it's in verse number 16, servant is no greater than the master. He said, if I've done this to you, you ought to do it to each other, to the brethren. He's teaching them a lesson about humility. But he also gives them lessons about hypocrisy as well in these verses. It amazes me that the devil himself is seated among them. Judas Iscariot. And that the Lord even washed his feet. He got down and washed Judas's feet. And that none of the other disciples suspected what was going on. But in the chapter, verses 21 through about verses number 30, he begins to speak to Judas about how that he's going to betray him. And that he goes out and begins to betray him. And then there's also a lesson for Peter, verses 36 through 38. And Peter says that he's willing to go wherever he goes. And that the Lord says, Peter, you don't know what you're saying. You don't really understand all that is before me. You can't drink of the same cup that I'm going to drink of. Your day's coming, Peter, one day after a while. But for right now, you just stay faithful and stay true. Or you're going to deny me a little later on. But when you are converted, strengthen the brethren and restore them back. He's given these disciples lessons about hypocrisy. You see, none of the disciples would have ever thought that Judas would have betrayed him or that Peter would have denied him. They didn't understand what they were about to face. They said, we're willing to go with you all the way. We'll lay down our life for you. But they really did not know what they were saying. It's easy in a house full of saved men to stand up and say, we've been so blessed. But it's a different story when we're down on the job. Different story when they're telling their dirty jokes. Different story when they're mocking God and the world is going against everything God is for. Oh, he gives a lesson about hypocrisy. But if you look on with me a little further, verses 34 and verses number 35, he gives them a lesson about their hearts. How that they ought to love one another. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The Lord's giving them lessons about their heart. He's telling them, they may not understand it, but he's telling them, after I'm gone, you ought to keep right on loving one another as you have, as I'm in your midst. He said the world is going to look at you, and you know what sets us as believers apart from the Muslims? It's the love that we have. The Muslims will preach a gospel of hate and a gospel of destruction, but you'll never find another gospel that's preached of love. I'm glad he said love one another. He gives them lessons about their heart. And by this, by your love one for another, shall all know that you are my disciples. When we show love one for another, I just say to you this evening, I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. But it's time we put aside our little petty differences and come together and love one another. Like that Bible says, a house divided cannot stand. But if we'll lay down the little petty things that we're fussing and fighting about and let God do a work in our heart, we'll see things happen and accomplished. This shall all men know that you're my disciples. He gives them a lesson about their heart. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, he gives them a lesson about heaven. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. I may come again. I'll think about coming. Oh, no, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He give them a promise about heaven. I'm glad this world's not our home. I'm glad there's a better place to go. I'm glad Obama ain't always going to be on the throne. I'm glad there's a better place. And if you're a Democrat and that rubs you the wrong way, just turn it around and rub it again, friend. I'm glad one day we're going to leave this sinful world behind. And we're going to a better place where there'll be no more Democrats or Republicans, but there'll be one Lord and one Savior over all. He gives them lessons about heaven. He gives them lessons about himself. In verses number 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, well, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. You have known me, you also know my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, if you'd just show us the Father, it'd suffice us. Just show us the Father. Philip, have I been here so long with you? Don't you understand, Philip, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 3. Bible said that Christ, he is the express image of the Father. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. If he were walking on this earth today and you were to be able to reach out and touch the Lord Jesus Christ, you know who you'd be touching? You'd be touching God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three yet one, one yet three. I can't understand it. Maybe you fellas can do a little better job with it than I can. It's above me and bigger than me. He's giving them lessons about themselves. He's telling him who he really is. I and my Father are one. They're one. Three, but yet they're one.
Yes, sir.
He's giving them a lesson about their heart.
Yeah.
He's giving them a lesson about himself.
Come on,
about heaven.
Yeah.
Verses 13 through 15, he's giving them a lesson about the help that they have in the Lord. The Bible says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, what a blessing. Your pastor has already said, what a blessed privilege that we have in prayer. But if I'm reading my Bible right, that is a promise that whatever we'd ask in his name, he'd do it, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. But there's a condition in verse number 15 of that. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's a conditional promise in the Word of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Boy, how do you, aren't you glad we're serving a God that'll meet any need we've got, that'll go to the other ends of this earth. But if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll be faithful and we'll be true to his name. He's giving them a lesson about help. Verses 16 down through verse number 26, he's giving them a lesson about the Holy Spirit.
how that the Comforter is going to come. He'll pray the Father, and he'll give him another Comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. Thank God for the good Holy Ghost that we have living in our hearts and in our lives there to help and guide as we go along from day to day. Chapter 14, verses 27 through 31, he's giving him a lesson about hope. He gives him a lesson about peace. He tells him, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Then he said these words. He said, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. I'm glad that we have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. A peace that the government cannot take. That they cannot pry away from us. Oh, they're trying to take our guns. They're trying to do away with our rights. But they'll never take away the peace of God that I have in my heart. Men didn't give it. But it come from above. And God will give us peace even in these last days we are living in. He's in that upper room. He's preparing them and he's teaching them. I wonder how long has it been since you've been in that upper room. And the Lord has prepared you. And the Lord has taught you some things. Just you and him. Nobody else around. Just you and him. Not only is this upper room, not only is it a place of preparation and teaching. But in chapter number 15, they leave the upper room. They make their way into the Garden of Gethsemane, over the brook Kidron, into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord is betrayed by Judas. He's arrested. He prays there in Gethsemane, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And Judas betrays him. They arrest him. And Peter denies him in this very same night. The Bible said that all of his disciples fled. Where did they go? Where did they go? Not only is that upper room, not only is it a place of preparation and a place of teaching, but that upper room, now hear me, it's also a place of pain and tears. They went running back to that upper room after the Lord's arrest. The Bible says, Luke 22, that they all forsake him and they all fled. Mark 14, Luke 22, the Bible says that Peter, he went out and he wept bitterly. They all fled. They all come back one by one. I can see them come out of fear, filing back into that upper room. Why? Why would they go to that upper room? They went to that upper room because of their fears. They went to that upper room because they were afraid. They thought they were going to be next. They thought the soldiers were looking for them. They thought the soldiers were after them. John chapter 20, verse number 19, the Bible says, in the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were afraid and they were frightened. I'm glad when the fears of life begin to creep in my life. I'm glad there is a place I can go. You say, preacher, you mean you get scared? You let the word cancer be dropped in your life and you see if you'll not be scared. Oh, preacher, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I understand that. I understand that. I know that. I don't know where you're living, but I'm human. I'm still in this flesh. I'm still a man. And I love my wife. You say what you want to about yours, but I love mine. I'll fight for mine. And there's times when fears come into our lives. Aren't you glad there is a place we can run to? Aren't you glad that the door's not shut in that upper room? We can tell him all of our fears. We can lay them on him and we can cast them at his feet. And in a way that only he can, he can make all our fears maybe not go away. But he will give grace and he will give strength to sustain us in our fears. They went back to that upper room because of their fears. Went back to that upper room because of their failures. That's what they were. They were failures in God's sight. They failed him. And we want to down Peter, and we want to look at Peter and say, well, he betrayed the Lord. But if you and I had been there, we'd have done the same thing. We'd have denied him. We would have forsaken him. We would have fled. They're there in that upper room. They failed the Lord. They're thinking, when he needed me the most, I run out. I forsook him. I failed him. I've let him down. I'm glad even when I fail him, the doors of that upper room's not barred. He doesn't cast me aside. He doesn't say, you sorry, low down, good for nothing. You failed me, you let me down. But he loves me, whether I'm good or whether I'm bad, he still loves me. Whether I'm on or whether I'm off, he still loves me. Hey, I'm glad that he is faithful to love us in spite of our failures, in spite of our fears. There is a place we can run to. He went back to that upper room. Because of their fears, because of their failures, they went back to that upper room because of the fellowship that they had had there. Can you see them coming in? One by one, they're looking over all the furniture. The table, the cup, the bowl, the basin, the towel is scattered all through there. And they remember those sweet words that rang in his ears. Being in their ears. They're in that same place. He's prepared them and he's taught them there. Now this is a place of pain and tears gripped their heart. They're weeping and they're crying bitter tears. They went back to that upper room because of the fellowship they had had there. How long has it been since you've been to that upper room and met with God and fellowship with him? Just you and he. In spite of your fears, in spite of your failures, in spite of your faults, just get back to that upper room one more time and enjoy sweet fellowship once again. They went back to that upper room because they needed reminding of the freedom that they had in Christ. They needed to be reminded of who he really was. Oh, the world has a way of dimming our eyes and dimming our view. I quoted unto you there John chapter number 20, verse number 19 while ago, but I only quoted half of it. The Bible says that the disciples, they were assembled together for fear of the Jews. But the Bible says, then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. You know what the Bible said in the next verse? Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They've denied him and they've cursed him. They've failed him. They've been afraid. But he comes in the room. All of a sudden everything just fades from view. Nothing else matters anymore. They see him and he doesn't speak harshly unto them. But he says, peace be unto you. Glad the Lord has a way of walking into our upper room and speaking peace in spite of our failures, in spite of our fears, in spite of how bad we've let him down. He can come to that upper room. He can speak peace to our troubled hearts and our troubled minds. That upper room, it's a place of preparation and teaching. It's a place of pain and tears. That upper room, it is also a place of power and triumph. Oh, there's going to be pain. There's going to be preparation that God is going to give us. There's going to be teaching. There's going to be tears. But I'm glad there'll also be some triumphs in our lives. In that upper room, if you'll look over in Acts chapter number 1, the Bible says, and it tells us in chapter number 1, in verse number 3, that the Lord was upon the earth some 40 days. The Bible said that they were assembled together. I believe it's in verse number 14 or verse number 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They're going back into that upper room one more time. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible in the Old Testament tells us from Passover to Pentecost, some 50 days, 50 days between the two. Best if my figuring and if my accountability is right, that leaves 10 days about between the time the Lord ascended and the time of Pentecost. I want you to see what's taking place there in this upper room. What are they doing? Well, first thing they did, they tarried and they told. They tarried and they told. Just before the Lord ascended back into heaven, in Luke chapter number 24, he told his disciples, "You tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He said, "You stay there in Jerusalem until you hear from the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to go and evangelize the world. I want you to spread and carry the gospel into Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. But you don't do it until you hear from the Holy Spirit of God." They tarried and they told. I believe there for those 10 days they're assembled together. They're having a prayer meeting. They're praying. Verse number 14. The Bible said these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They're praying. They're not having games. They're not having puppet shows. They're not playing looking for a good time. But they're praying and asking God to move. They tarried and they told while they were there. I just tell you, that's the secret to genuine revival in our day. Tarrying and tolling. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Holy Spirit and His power. And prayer. Praying. Asking and beseeching that the Lord would guide us. They tarried and they told. But then they testified and they turned the world upside down. They tarried and they told. But in chapter 2 and chapter number 3, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible said Peter, that failure, that one that had denied the Lord, he stood up and he preached. Power of God fell on the place, and 3,000 souls were saved. They tarried and they told. Then they testified and they turned the world upside down. They waited. They prayed. And when the time came, when God, the Holy Spirit came, then they went forth testifying, and it made a difference. It always will make a difference. It always will make a change. When we tarry and toll and wait on the Lord. Throughout the book of Acts, you can see the Lord adding to the church. Is it Acts chapter number 17? I believe it is. The house of Jason. The Bible said it turned the world upside down. I'm telling you, Pathway Baptist Church, wherever you're from, Gum Springs Baptist Church, wherever we're from, if we'll tarry and toil, we then can testify and turn the world upside down. Throughout all of the prophets preaching, you know what the prophets preached about? The coming of Jesus. But they never turned the world upside down. But 120 full of the Holy Ghost turned the world upside down. They tarried and they told, testified, turned the world upside down. They were tested and they were triumphant. Throughout the book of Acts, you can see these men being put to the test. Peter lays down his life for the cause of Christ. You don't die for a lie. You recant to save your own life. They were put to the test. And friend, in America today, before long, we may be put to the test. You look how America has changed.
in the past few years. I want to be tested. And when I'm tested, I want to be triumphant. I don't want to jump ship. I want to stay faithful. I want to stay true. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to get to that upper room. We're going to have to go spend time alone with Him. Preacher, you come. I'm through this morning. I appreciate the liberty. God bless you. Bless your heart.